Why has child abuse skyrocketed in America? Next, a psychiatrist has some surprising answers. Hello, I'm Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. I'm joined by Janet Moreno, our Associate Director. Janet, today we're going to talk again with our good friend Dr. Philip Ney, showing some clippings of interviews we did with him here at this studio. And Dr. Ney, for the background, for those who don't know him, has been a psychologist and a psychiatrist in practice since 1965. A researcher on abortion. In fact, no one has done more research than he has in the whole world on the topic of abortion. He has been a full professor at some five different universities on various continents. He's from Canada, where he lives now in Victoria, and he has authored a number of works on this critically important topic.
Well, you know, Father, you know, the people on the pro-abortion side have always made the claim that legalized abortion will accomplish a lot of different things, but one of the chief things they point to is child abuse, that only the, you know, wanted children will be born because of abortion, and therefore we will reduce the amount of child abuse in this country. Well, unfortunately, that is not true. If you look at the statistics, since Roe v. Wade on, abortion has not decreased at all. If anything, it's been on the increase. Since Roe v. Wade.
Abortions increase, you're saying, has led to an increase in child abuse.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so that promise hasn't come true, and Dr. Ney delves into the connection between abortion and child abuse.
This is a big part of his research, and he is a child psychiatrist, and he shows actually a mutual causality, that the more abortion there is, or if someone has had an abortion, that increases the risk that that person will abuse her child. Vice versa as well. If the individual has been a victim of child abuse or neglect, the chances they will have an abortion increase. So it's a fascinating mutual causality. There's many different reasons why. Let's ask now Dr. Ney to talk to us more about the connection between abortion and child abuse.
Well, there is this connection, and it's a difficult one, because it's a statistical connection, and then you have to look at other things like clinical examples to help you fill in the details. Mm-hmm. But statistically, we have done now five studies to show it's true, and other people have done. Coben's done a study too, to show there is a statistical connection between having had an abortion and neglecting your children afterwards. And what other people like Coomer and Robson, these are not pro-life people, have shown is that during a pregnancy, following an abortion, the woman is more likely to be depressed. Christine Bradley, who tried to prove me wrong, proved, in fact, the opposite, much to her distress, actually. The women are more depressed during a pregnancy if they've had an abortion before. If they are more depressed, they're less likely to bond. And bonding, of course, takes place during the pregnancy, but as one researcher shows, in the 18 hours following the birth of the baby, it's intense bonding. Bonding means that you now have this little person who is basically an extension of yourself. Mm-hmm. It isn't an absolute protection from being harmed, but it means at least the child will be treated as well as you treat your arm or another part of your body. But one of the other things that I illustrated when we were talking before is that if the bonding is not good, the mother can't touch her baby. And if she can't touch her baby, she can't breastfeed her baby. And breastfeeding has been the only source of essential fatty acids, natural source of essential fatty acids. And essential fatty acids are necessary for the production of myelin, both in your brain and in your peripheral nerves. And in addition is the interfering with the mother's instinctual restraint to her aggression. So she's more likely to hurt the baby when she gets angry. Now this applies to fathers too. And we did a study to show that instinctual restraint and the response to a helpless cry is diminished if there has been an abortion. So now you have a sense in which aggression is being unleashed by the fact there is less instinctual restraint, and consequently the more babies are being hurt. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of other interconnections that are very, very important.
I remember one being the... Well, let's talk about the concept of every pregnancy as a crisis. Often in a movement, we talk about crisis pregnancy. Well, okay, a pregnancy might be particularly surprising, unexpected, throw your plans off. But every pregnancy is a crisis in the best sense of the term, isn't it? An opportunity for growth. And if it's an opportunity for growth, it's also an opportunity for regression.
Precisely. Right. And it's not only a kairos, a crisis, for the mother, but it is for the father. And the father is going to have to make a decision. Oh my gosh, we're going to have a baby. I'm going to have to sell my sports car and give up playing rugby or something like this. Mm-hmm. And so it's a crisis. You have to change. And the mother is particularly hit by this because her body is changing. Mm-hmm. And now her concept of herself, and one concept is that she'll never be a child again. She is forced to become an adult if she hadn't been before.
Yes.
And that's a big crisis. Well, it's a crisis for the grandparents. Oh, goodness, we're too young to be grandparents. Oh, no, you're not. Here you are. You're a grandparent. And it is for the community. You know, are we going to welcome this person? So it's a crisis in welcoming. So every person that God sends into the world, every new little person, is a crisis for everybody in the world. Are you going to or are you not going to welcome this person? Are you going to try to destroy this person? What are you going to do with this person? Are you going to treat them like every other person with the same dignity and respect? So, yes, it's a crisis, and it's a crisis that can be managed one way or another. And, of course, too many people who are not willing to be forced into growing up, they want to stay as children, will try to avoid the crisis by aborting the baby. Because there is nothing like a child to make people grow up. Not only is a child the most maturing influence in the world, it's the most civilizing influence in the world. And when you get nations like our nation and your nation who are now wanting not to have children, you're going to have a lot of narcissistic, immature people because they do not want to be forced to grow up. Let's get rid of the baby, then be forced to grow up.
Right. Now, if that parent who doesn't want to be a parent was abused as a child, they feel like they have to hold on to the childhood they lost.
That's right.
So why do I want to take the last definitive step of losing my childhood by having this baby?
Precisely. Mm. Because as long as I'm a child, that is, I haven't become a parent, there is still a possibility, remote though it may be, that my parents will actually give me what I needed as a child.
Yeah.
Of course, what they forget is that time will not run backward, in particular about child development. You can't go back to an earlier stage of development. You can't make up for that. Mm-hmm. And this is why counseling for abortion is such a difficult thing. You cannot go back. I'm sorry, you cannot undo this. That child is dead, 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 dead. And Jesus, though I'm sure he's quite capable, I have never seen him put together an aborted child.
Right.
I think the reason is, quite clearly, this is such an important decision you're making. I'm not going to undo it for you under any circumstances.
Well, we're very grateful for Dr. Ney's insights. Janet, it's a disturbing thing. And of course, you work with a lot of the women who have had abortions through the Silent No More Awareness campaign. I'm sure you see and hear much about this connection.
We do. And, you know, this is why, again, to go back to healing programs and why they're so important. You know, a woman who's experienced abortion and has not dealt with it and been healed from it and then goes on later, you know, this is what happens. They have that abortion maybe when they're a teenager. They've bought the lie from Planned Parenthood. They're not ready to be a parent. But then later on in life, they marry and they have other children. Well, if they haven't dealt with that abortion, that's when they're going to have bonding issues and where they'll end up possibly neglecting or abusing that wanted child later on.
Exactly. Well, friends, we'll be back with more from Dr. Philip Ney right after this.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Welcome back. I'm with Janet Morana, our Associate Director, and we're going to continue to share with you now some insights from Dr. Philip Ney, psychiatrist and psychologist, abortion researcher, who is talking about the mutual connection between abortion and child abuse, and in particular now how having been abused can increase a person's temptation to abort. Let's listen.
The sense of one's own fragility enters in here too, doesn't it? This abuse-abortion connection. Talk to us about that.
Right. And I presented this paper at the annual meeting of the Canadian Academy of Child Psychiatry a few years ago, the factors that go into the woman's choice to have an abortion. And you're quite correct. If she was not well nurtured, she is feeling fragile. And if she feels fragile and you got a baby growing inside her, there is a curious sense in which I'm going to blow apart. And what sustains a mother, particularly the early childhood experiences she had of being touched, caressed, stroked, which every little child should have, warm towels, baths, and all sorts of things, that gives them the sense that their body is a strong thing and it won't blow apart when you have a baby inside you. So, yes, neglect is one of the most important factors that determine whether mothers choose to have an abortion or not. In fact, it's probably the most important thing. And in our studies, when we did a stepwise regression on this, looking at a whole bunch of factors, it turned out to be the most important factor. Mm-hmm. If the mother had been neglected, the chances of her choosing to have an abortion are much, much higher.
Mm-hmm. Now, the dynamics of abortion leading to an increased risk of child abuse. If someone hasn't properly grieved the child they aborted, that's going to make it harder for them to bond to a subsequent child they have, right?
That's right.
Okay. And talk to us about those dynamics, because then if she's not well bonded to the child she has, tell us then how that also increases the risk of abuse and neglect.
Right. Well, like I say, bonding is a relative restraint. You're not going to treat your arm worse than you treat the rest of your body, and the child is bonded to you. That means they become an extension of yourself, your body, and you're going to look after it as well, at least as well as yourself. But, of course, not only that, mothers who've had an abortion become acutely aware of the fact that this little baby is probably as good or maybe even better than the one they aborted. And so this acutely reminds them of their destructiveness. And now they're thinking to themselves, I don't want to be reminded of this. So I am going to put that child out of sight. At the same time, there's the conflict. I wanted this child, so now I have to be particularly good. So how do they resolve that particular conflict? By putting the child in the daycare, the very best, the most expensive daycare. The child's getting the best of care, but I'm not constantly reminded of the child that I aborted by seeing this one I have.
Mm. How do we break this terrible cycle of abortion abuse and more abortion?
Well, I think, you know, it comes with an understanding how we've all contributed to this whole phenomenon, you and I and everybody else. We haven't done as much as we could. And I know that, even though I've spent a lot of years at this and done a lot of research and got more than a few brickbats, but we've all contributed. And I think if we could start there, and then if we could start by seeing how we are dehumanizing ourselves. You cannot do to other people what you are not at the same time doing to yourself. I think it's axiomatic to say you cannot benefit at the expense of your neighbor. Whoever your neighbor is, they're black, small, elderly, or whatever, you cannot actually gain by not encouraging them and helping them. You can't. And so when you damage them, you kill them, you're killing something in yourself. And what we are doing is killing our humanity. And that, I think, is very, very dangerous. Because the humanity is such a tenuous thing that we grasp. It's the basis of our civilization. And we want to dehumanize ourselves. I think it's what the enemy of God wants. He doesn't want to destroy humanity. He wants to enslave it. And you enslave people after you dehumanize them. It's so much easier. So he's out to dehumanize people. And he does so primarily, I think, through abortion. It's the most dehumanizing thing you could do to a person. You make them much less than they were. Mm-hmm. And so all of these intricately locked cycles and cause-related phenomena, they've got to be looked at in depth. And I think we've got to, if nothing else, appeal to the world itself. Let's look at this objectively. Let's do the research. But quite frankly, they discourage people from doing research in this area. And if you do the research, they discourage you from publishing it. What the heck are they afraid of? And so I've written, much to my great distress, I have written in Medical Cycles, I'm sorry, the best evidence shows that abortion does more harm than good. Now, don't call that the practice of medicine, because there is nothing in all of medicine that provides you the right or the opportunity to harm people. And I wish the courts of your country and our country would recognize you cannot give a person a right to harm. Apart from the armed forces and maybe the police. But the average citizen is not, and certainly doctors, are not given a right to harm. And it's now so, well, I couldn't say incontrovertible, but the evidence is very strong, and that's why when physicians like myself appear in court on behalf of women who've had an abortion, the chances of winning are really very high, because the evidence is very strong now that abortion is harmful, not helpful. It's not medicine.
Well, we're grateful for Dr. Ney's insights, and Janet, it's really fascinating to listen to somebody like him.
It is, and you know, I've had the great opportunity of going to Dr. Ney's training. You know, he has developed a program for healing called Hope Alive. Mm-hmm. He has counselors who are trained all over the world. Matter of fact, last year I went to one of their conferences in France. They have them annually, but I've begun the training to be a certified counselor in the Hope Alive training program. And it's very fascinating. And one of the tools that we start with is a book called Deeply Damaged.
Yes.
Anybody can read this.
Yes.
I highly recommend it.
Me too.
For anybody, but in particular, pastors, youth ministers, people who work with women's groups, especially, you know, these groups for expectant mothers and things. Mm-hmm. You need to know the really implications of a prior abortion in a person's life and how, if it's not dealt with, it's going to affect all these other aspects.
And in Deeply Damaged, he has a very extensive section on this whole topic that we've been looking at today, the mutual causality between abortion and child abuse. What are all the different physical and psychological reasons behind that? Deeply Damaged goes into it quite a large extent.
And again, they go to our Gospel Life website right there on the homepage. There'll be all the information they need as to how to order Dr. Ney's book, Deeply Damaged.
And his other writings as well, which are equally fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Janet. And thank you, brothers and sisters. Stay with us now. We're going to ask for your support for Gospel of Life Ministries because although we are extended throughout the nation and around the world, our source of support is still people just like you. So stay with us for that, as well as for our action segment where we'll give you more ideas about things you can do.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. Our action segment today is about one simple thing. Let's get out the vote. Janet, we're talking about getting as many people as possible to go to the polls on election day. And there are things people can do right now to prepare for that by thinking through what they as individuals and organizations and churches will be willing to do when election day comes.
That's right, because really elections are not about two candidates. They're really about two teams. And it's which team can get the most people from their team to actually show up on election day and vote.
That's what wins elections. It's not which candidate is right on the issues, which candidate is better. It's ultimately about which candidate has more people who end up voting him or her. That's what wins elections.
Well, the first thing is people need to be looking at the candidates and have decided which is the candidate they're going to support with the pro-life views. Now, this is not the time to talk about to Aunt Sue, who says she's pro-choice and she's always going to vote pro-choice, and that's what Aunt Sue is going to do. Well, we don't bother trying to convert Aunt Sue right near an election. We deal with the people who we know are like-minded. And those are the people, like we call the low-hanging fruit, that we have to get out to the polls.
Right. The idea being that you may, in fact, be able to persuade Aunt Sue, but it might take, 100 hours of your time. And meanwhile, in that 100 hours, you could be getting 10,000 people, to vote who only simply need a little reminder, a tiny little nudge, maybe some information about the candidates, or maybe a ride to the polls. Or help to fill out their absentee ballot if they're away from their usual polling place. Just a phone call or an email. Are we emailing our email list? And the thing is, ahead of time, to start generating those lists, we can start reminding people now of the obligation to vote on election day. And then maybe if they're not registered, then they get registered. We can plan now in churches to have transportation to the polls on election day. Absolutely nothing wrong with doing that.
Right. Well, now's the time to get volunteers signed up for, who, if you're willing to do carpools, sign up for that. But the other thing, too, is we can't forget people who are homebound, our homebound elderly, people in nursing homes. They can vote by absentee ballot. And in some states, this is where you have to check state by state. There's a certain time frame that you must request the form by.
Yeah.
Well, you can request the form early. So get the request in right away. As soon as you know that there's a person who can't get to the polls or is going to be traveling for business or away at college, get the absentee ballot way ahead of time so that your vote will count.
Well, that brings up another thing, which is just early voting. In a lot of states now, you can vote before election day, even if you are able to get to the polls on election day. The point is you do it early so that unforeseen circumstances don't end up getting in the way of your last chance to take part in that election. We have on our gospeloflife.com website the information for each state as to whether they have early voting, and if so, when it starts. We urge everyone to know what their law is in their state and to vote at the soonest possible date, not on the last possible date. Then again, this brings up another point. People who have websites, people who publish newsletters, church bulletins, whatever means you have of communicating to the public, Why not put right on the front page of the website, election day is, and the general election this year is on Tuesday, November 4th. Election day is Tuesday, November 4th. Be sure to vote. Right. Why not put that reminder? You're not telling people who to vote for. You're saying election day is on this day. Mark it on your calendars now and be sure you vote.
Right. Or vote and vote early if you can in your state.
Yes.
And like I said, it's a matter of which team can get the most people to the poll will win. That's exactly what it's all about.
That's right. Well, brothers and sisters, let's be active in the process. And one of the key reasons why we are active in the process is that we have to bring an end in our country to the tragedy of abortion. And right now, we're going to show you some of the very disturbing footage of what abortion does to a baby. Because the word is just an abstraction to so many people. We don't want it to be that way for you. Please take a moment to look at these images and let's pray and work for an end to the killing.
Until people saw images of children in coal mines, did they enact child labor laws. Not until people saw images of human torture, did they rise up against slavery. And now, after seeing these images, what will you do? Priests for Life, because America will never reject abortion unless America sees abortion. Call now to learn how you can help. There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. The Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.